Like it or not, evacuation has become a part of life in much of our region. Fires do get big and move fast, and we have to get out of the way. We've talked to people here on the JX who have evacuated their homes multiple times. We get lots of tips now on how to get ready for evacuation. One recent bit of advice was to assume you're in level one, be ready status all summer long. Getting animals, pets, or livestock ready for evacuation adds a degree of difficulty. Let's get some tips on the animal part of the evacuation from Amber Canavan, who's a senior campaigner at PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Amber, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, Jeffrey. Thank you for having me on.
Sure. It seems like this is potentially a huge area of concern. I mean, our animals are really important to us, and we tend to have lots of them.
Absolutely. And we found time and time again that the only way to avoid tragedy is to make plans to ensure the safety of animals in advance of those natural disasters. So you're not scrambling last minute, you know, finding their leash, finding their carrier, things like that.
All right. So planning is a big part of this. And how long a checklist do you have at PETA for how to prep?
Well, I think the first and foremost is that animals just must never, ever be left behind. They are not going to survive out there any better than we could in those conditions. Animals must stay with their human guardians and will die if they're abandoned. In areas affected by smoke or falling ash, they should be kept indoors and avoid all outdoor activities such as running with dogs. You know, if visibility is less than 5 miles, smoke has definitely compromised the air quality and reached unsafe levels. Basic animal emergency kits in advance, you're going to want to make sure you've got enough food and water for them, carriers, leashes, veterinary records, and if possible, getting dogs, cats, and even horses can be microchipped in the event of an animal becoming lost. That can really shorten that time that rescue agencies need to take looking for you.
So to the first part of this, the actual planning in advance, I mean, basically it sounds like you're suggesting the kind of go bag that adults need to make for themselves, they should be making for their pets too.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right, so
have something ready to go, including those veterinary records. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to be trying to check into a hotel or if you have larger animals, sometimes fairgrounds open up. You're going to want to have those records, rabies vaccination records, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Do hotels sometimes draw the line at what animals they'll take in? I mean, there are, you know, most places will, you know, maybe give you a pet surcharge, but are there some rules against certain animals not having certain vaccinations, for example?
Yep, you just want to have that information on you, you know, just in case you can't pull it up from your veterinary office in an emergency.
Okay, so we want to make sure that there's ID for the animals, too. You mentioned chipping, and I guess I didn't realize that up to horses, there's chipping as well.
Right. Yep, and speaking of large animals, same goes for them. The feed, the water, supplements, medications as well for dogs, cats, and larger animals. Also, photographs, just in case you do become separated, make sure to have some recent good photos of their faces and their body shape to help identify if they do become separated from you.
That's a good point, because I have noticed a lot of found or missing cat photos or missing dog photos, for that matter, too, that it's hard to tell exactly what you're looking at here. So you really want to take the time to pose your pet, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And that includes watching out for neighbors' animals and the wild animals that are going to be moving through that region. You know, animals are on the move already just because of the drought conditions and the heat. Keeping animals in at night so those animals can move freely without confrontation. You don't want to be bringing your dog to the emergency vet overnight because they got into a scuffle with a raccoon or something.
Mm-hmm.
And leaving water out for those wildlife, the birds, and all the animals that are trying to move through that area safely, they'll have access to that water and be able to move through your area a bit more quickly.
Amber Canavan is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a senior campaigner at PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. We're talking about moving animals out with us when we evacuate, which is a pretty typical concern in our region. Join us with your questions, your comments, your experiences to share. Maybe you've had to evacuate, as I mentioned in the intro. We know people who've evacuated three times in the last few years because fires did threaten their homes that many times. So if you have a story to share about ways to help get pets out with you, join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Amber, are there any figures on how often people flee with their pets, or and what to do, for example, if you think room's tight in the car, you're not sure there's a shelter to take them to, that sort of thing?
Well, luckily, now after natural disasters have, you know, left families waiting in the wings who refuse to relinquish their animals, hotels, motels, fairgrounds, and other emergency centers have started accepting animals, realizing that that is what's oftentimes going to be a deal breaker for a family wanting to access those services. So, you know, again, that goes along with making those plans in advance. Finding friends to stay with out of the disaster area. Oftentimes the fairgrounds will be opening up, especially for folks with larger animals, and just having that plan on where you're going to go.
All right. Sounds like this is an advisory for some human outreach, too, to have some idea for a couple of potentially different places you could go, depending on which direction a fire comes from and which way you're going to have to head.
Absolutely. Yep. Having that plan ahead of time, again, can't restate it enough, and just making sure those animals are part of the plan, because intentionally abandoning animals, you know, is a crime, and leaving animals left to fend for themselves. People could potentially be open to prosecution. Of course, our concern is with the animals themselves. They just shouldn't be left in those situations in the first place.
Mm-hmm. I noticed PETA offers some stickers for windows, you know, save our pets. Tell us about those and how they are meant to be used.
Well, those stickers can go on your house to, you know, let a firefighter or first responder know that animals are in the house. That can be helpful. That's going to be if you are caught maybe not at home or something during a situation. But some people are leaving their harnesses on their dogs, leaving a halter on horses, so that if you really do need to start getting them out of there quickly, it's cutting down on that time of trying to find those things.
Mm-hmm.
Something as simple as familiarizing a horse with different types of trailers ahead of time. You don't want to find in the heat of the moment that your horse needs to learn how to step up into a trailer when they're used to walking up a ramp.
Okay, so a bunch of things to think about in terms of not just getting yourself and the stuff for the pets ready, but also giving the pets some trial runs. I mean, should you occasionally, if you have a cat who or a dog who's always in the house, is it a good idea to occasionally put them in a carrier, put them into the car, or basically do the same kind of training you're talking about with the horses?
Sure. I mean, I think everyone has struggled getting a cat into a cat carrier at some point. So, even getting them into a room that's easier to corral them into ahead of time if you're not sure, or some of those larger dog crates can actually fit a litter box and food and water in there. Mm-hmm. That might be a little easier to get them into versus a carrier that they might associate with the veterinary office.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, I think, with trying to get cats into carriers. It's amazing how many legs they develop beyond the original four when you're trying to get them into those. It's almost like you have to screw them into them or something.
Yeah, you're already dealing with smoke inhalation. You don't need those scratches on your arms, right?
No, you don't. So let's see, carriers, leashes, harnesses. You mentioned harnesses. So why harnesses for dogs?
Harnesses are generally more comfortable for dogs to be wearing, and, you know, it can take a moment to get them in there. So if you're thinking you might be needing to run out the door with them, you know, you can keep that handy. Same thing for horses, you know, keep that short lead outside their stall at all times is a great idea. And if you are on a property where you have staff, you know, maybe managing those larger animals, you know, making sure you have enough hands on deck to be able to get, if you have multiple animals, to get them all taken care of.
We have a drop-off question here from Lonnie in Ashland, who asks about at-risk pets, things you might do specially for older animals or environmentally sensitive animals like geckos or even pregnant animals. I mean, what kind of things can you talk about there?
Mentioned geckos, so there's animals that might need certain temperature conditions. So researching how to keep them warm. You know, you're not going to be able to have a powered heat rock, for instance, for those animals. One warning about using water bottles as a heating source. Maybe you have infant or very young animals or cold-blooded animals that can't regulate their own body temperature. Water bottles can be an effective warmth source, but you need to be very careful. Once that water starts hitting room temperature, it's actually going to sap the heat from that animal's body. So those need to be monitored very closely. There are other products you can find, like warmth stones. There's bean bag heating pads you can see people putting on their shoulders. Just find something that's going to be able to regulate their body temperature, whether it's hot or cold, right? Wildfires are not the only, you know, threat that we're facing. We're seeing repeated heat waves and droughts as well. And, you know, only walking dogs during the cooler hours of the day, touching that pavement before you let your dog walk on the sidewalk to make sure it's not going to burn the feet of their paws. All those considerations are what we need to keep in mind as well.
I imagine you're hearing lots of reports now that we're talking about heat alone this summer of pets that are getting wounded or overstressed by the heat.
Yeah, so dogs especially, but other animals, you know, signs of heat stroke can include restlessness, heavy panting, vomiting, lethargy, lack of coordination. So any animal who is showing any of those signs of heat stress should be taken into the shade or an air-conditioned building immediately. You can lower their body temperature by providing them water to drink if they want to drink, putting a wet towel on their head or chest, and immersing them in cool but not ice-cold water. And, of course, contacting a veterinarian as quickly as you can as well.
All right, so the water needs to be water, but about room temperature, maybe a little below. I mean, we're really talking not trying to shock them here, just trying to cool them down.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Cool water. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes the temptation is to try to put them in, you know, an ice bath or something like that, and that's not recommended.
Amber Canavan is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about wildlife survival for pets and farm animals, and we're talking about some heat issues here as well while we're in the subject area. Join us while we talk about this with Amber Canavan, PETA Senior Campaigner, 800-838-3760 by phone, or just call the JX at jx@jeffnet.org. I mean, email us there. So as far as if you don't want to leave animals behind, obviously, as you've made it very clear, if there's no place to take them, things are happening too fast. I think I saw some advice from PETA not to leave animals behind in barns or stables.
Right. I mean, obviously, getting them out. But if something happens very, very quickly, and you know, you can't get them into a trailer, we have been seeing people at least opening those gates because fences and obviously being trapped inside a building, that animal has very, very little chance of being able to survive.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as things to make the trip easier for the pet, I mean, there are products out there that can relax your cat or dog or larger animal. And what's PETA's advice as far as things like animal tranquilizers or whatever else you want to call them?
That, I would say, talk to your veterinarian. There are different things you can give different animals, but I'm not going to name them here for, you know, I don't want to give any veterinary medical advice. Mm-hmm. But yes, you can certainly visit, talk to your veterinarian about your specific animal's needs, and they might be able to recommend or prescribe something to you that might help calm them down. One thing for cats that some people have found that's over-the-counter is something called Feel Away, and it's a hormone, synthetic hormone that can help calm some cats, not all. Mm-hmm. And that comes in a diffuser and wipes.
All right, but obviously there's a bit of a trick in trying to administer something to anybody who's ever tried to give a vitamin pill to a cat knows that it, it's another sense of adventure, like trying to put a cat into a carrier. Yeah. So, so here again, plan ahead. So, make a list, have the pet supplies ready. Any tips on placement in the car, time in car, whether you should take breaks on the trip, anything like that?
Yep. You're going to want to obviously, make sure that those animals are staying hydrated. So that's going to, you know, necessitate some bathroom breaks, or having a carrier or a small dog crate large enough for cats. You can sometimes fit a small cat litter box inside, and that might be something you want to pick up at the store beforehand as well. There's these smaller litter boxes that can actually fit right inside of a cage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Okay, yeah, that's that. Oh, yeah, we didn't even think about the whole litter part of this. Yeah, you could take the dog outside the car with a plastic bag and all that stuff, but the cat has somewhat different needs.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's all about planning, you know, that specific animal you have. And making sure, you know, what supplies do they generally need in that week? What are the most important and the most, you know, animals need at minimum? That food, water, going to the bathroom, and, you know, an appropriate temperature and comfort.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting more report? I mean, it just seems like with as much activity as we've had in recent years with evacuations, these kinds of events are happening a lot more with pets, I would think.
Yep. And like I said, people are, you know, it's a good thing. People are treating animals like they are part of the family. And luckily, disaster response services and first responders are more and more recognizing that. And, you know, people just need to be looking out for animals when they're making these plans. And that goes along with looking out for your neighbor's animals. You know, a lot of people know that neighbor down the street who might keep their dog chained 24/7. And that might be finally the time that you can help that animal.
Okay.
You know, call ahead to authorities.
All right. So good to have these discussions.
Get them to take that dog inside.
Yeah. Preparation for sure is the key point here. Amber Canavan from PETA. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.